Good morning. As most of you know, we are not having a gathering here at the building this morning. We have several in the congregation with COVID and several in quarantine. So the elders decided not to meet in person in the building for the next few weeks. We will inform you when we will start again. Also, our sister Joyce Parker passed away yesterday. I ask that you keep her family in your prayers this week. Keep each of those who are suffering from COVID and other sicknesses in your prayers this week. Now, I want to share with you a few words this morning. Now, this is a stick, a plain old ordinary stick. This particular stick is a tobacco stick, probably made out of oak. It was used to hang tobacco in a barn for the tobacco to cure. I've used many of one and hung a lot of tobacco in a barn with one of these. But this ordinary stick is going to become a constant companion with me on my walks. Not hikes, but walks. I'm not in the hiking stage yet. Sometimes I think it's a bit funny carrying around a stick, particularly just a plain old stick. It's nothing fancy like those that they sell at Little River. I wonder if walking sticks have something to do with the memories of our youth. You know, a good strong stick is the child's first weapon. It was wielded ferociously against those imaginary evil forces, bravely and courageously. Sticks also were handy for knocking down tall grass, and if a dandelion happened to pop its head up and you had a stick, you would take it and whack it right off there. But lately, I wonder if it's not just the old man in me that insists on carrying a stick. Tall grass, you see, on steep slopes is guaranteed complete safety as I trudge up that slope and using the stick as a low gear to get to the top of that slope. It gives me something also to lean on when I stop to rest. Now, naturally, I shudder when someone thinks that my walking stick serves the same purpose as a cane. Well, canes are for doddering old men walking precariously along the level streets. It's like Zechariah said in Zechariah 8:4, "Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with cane in hand because of his age." King David was no doddering old man of ripe age when he found security in the most famous of all walking sticks. But of course, the stick to which he referred was no ordinary stick. Now remember the psalm? It is the best known of all psalms. I have read it many, many times at graveside services. In fact, James, my son, read it just a few weeks ago at his mother's graveside service. What could be more appropriate for a person who is walking in the foothills of the Smokies, along those raging streams or those quiet lakes, along the paths and the valleys and the mountains, and just as David walked with his rod and his staff, I carry my stick. David said confidently, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." What David carried by faith was the rod and the staff of God. Indeed, when I walk through the darkest valleys, whether that be death or some other somber place, I have nothing to fear. I will not fear, because my shepherd is there with me, protecting me with his club and leading me and guiding me with his staff. You see, my security doesn't lie in my environment, whether it is green pastures or whether it is the darkest valleys. My security lies in my shepherd, in his presence. The psalmist says there is neither want nor fear. The rod for David was a stick of protection against an enemy or a threat, a weapon of war, a means of self-defense. The staff, on the other hand, was a benign, peaceful walking stick, more like an old-fashioned, old faithful friend and a faithful companion. And that's how I see my walking stick, as both a rod of protection and a staff of friendship. I wouldn't think of leaving it behind when I go for a walk. Maybe I'm desperate for companionship, but that's just the way that it is. And he acts as an old friend, resting very comfortably there in my hand. Something would be missing if I didn't take it along. I don't consciously think about it in advance, but on occasion, if a dog gets after me or I come across a snake in the pathway, it's comforting to know that I've got some protection there just in case I need it. At those times, my staff of companionship becomes my rod of assurance. And that must be the message of my walking stick. Through good times and bad, God is my rod and He is my staff. He is both my greatest protection and He is my faithful friend. It would not be enough for my God to provide one without the other, either protection without friendship or friendship without protection. A God who protects without offering friendship would be seen as cold and stern, authoritative and frightening. The power yielded by such a God would just as likely take a swipe at me as He would my enemies. And this is not the kind of God that I know. But unfortunately, it's the kind of God that a lot of people see in the Old Testament. So they're much more comfortable, rather, to think of the God of the New Testament in the person of Jesus Christ. Who could be more gentle? Who could be more accepting? Who could be more loving than Jesus? What a friend we have in Jesus, declares a hymn with a sense of great relief. The rod of God has been replaced with the staff, according to many people, when they look at the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. But there is a danger in thinking that the God of the Bible is a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, or even seeing as God is all sweetness and love. For a God who would offer friendship without providing strength and protection, He would be a frothy God, a sentimental, powerless God. Divine friendship alone would virtually be worthless in those times when I need to depend upon someone who is greater than myself. And that is every moment of every day. But the good news is that Jesus is both our protector and our friend. The Apostle Paul prayed that the believers in Ephesus would come to know Jesus better and better, especially His incomparable great power for those of us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength that He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realm. Ephesians 1:17-22. For Paul, when he writes that to this church, the greatest display of power the world had ever seen took place when God raised Jesus from the dead, never to die again. There had been others who had been raised, but they died. But Jesus was raised never to die again. The power of the Creator of God once sets itself apart and establishes itself as superior to all of the powers that people might come across. The risen Jesus, in fact, is now enthroned over the whole cosmos, over the whole universe, because of that power of God. And at the center of Paul's prayer there in Ephesians, for the church in that area, and it is his longing that they will come to realize that same power. The power seen at the resurrection and the power that is now invested in Jesus is available to them for their daily use. And it's available to us for our daily use. Our God is no weakling. Our God is the risen Savior of the world. He is a God of power, a God of power over even death. Yes, our God is a God of love, but it is a love that protects as well as cares. There is no more reassuring passage in all of the Bible than Paul's reminder that in Christ we are more than conquerors through Him who has loved us. For I am convinced, says Paul, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here is a vision to take away all loneliness and all fear. You can think of every terrifying thing that this or any world can produce. Not one of them is able to separate the Christian from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He is the Lord of every terror, and He is the master of every world. And as I look at that, and Paul says that neither death nor life is able to separate us from the love of God, that gives me assurance. That gives me assurance, because I may be alive, but my wife is dead. And in both, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So what is there to be afraid of then? God's love is not soppy sentimentalism that mere friendship might be. God's love is power. God's love is strength. And God's love is protection. So whether it is in times of sickness, loneliness, or fear, or even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that like David and Paul and a host of God's people who have gone before, I can do everything through Him who gives me the strength. He has given me the strength to conquer a lot that I thought I could never conquer myself. But what a joy it is to know also that my protector is my friend. It didn't have to be that way. The idolater, for example, may have an imaginary protector, but he can have no pretense of a friend. The superstitious person may believe in magical powers, but magic holds no hands at all. That's the amazing thing about the incarnation of Jesus. Not just God in heaven imbibed with power and majesty, but God in the flesh seeking fellowship and friendship, our friendship. And Jesus said to His disciples on the night before His death, to prepare them for the next day and beyond, Jesus also says to us today, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. John 15:15. To be called Jesus' servant is a privilege, a great privilege. And yet Jesus confers even a greater honor. He brings us even closer and he calls us friends. Friends with God. We are actually friends with the one who has created us. What an amazing and altogether wondrous thought. Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." John 15:13. He wants us to view the cross as a love-filled sacrifice for friends. Friendship is at the deepest heart of Christ. It is at the very center of the gospel. Jonathan Edwards wrote, he says, "Whatsoever there is or can be that is desirable to be in a friend is in Christ, and to that the highest degree that can be desired." The gospel calls us to trust Jesus as our Savior. It calls us to bow to Him as our King and to value Him as our treasure. But it also calls us to enjoy Him as our friend. Jesus chose us as friends. He died for us as a friend. He caused us to trust Him as our friend. And He will remain our friend for endless ages to come. What a friend we have, moment by moment, now and forever, in Jesus Christ. Just maybe you should consider getting yourself a walking stick. Just take it and put it in the corner of your room, whether in a house or an apartment. You may never use it to walk the foothills of the Smokies, but what a graphic reminder of God's power and God's love, God's rod and God's staff for us. That it could be. And if someone should ask, just tell them with a twinkle in your eye that your best friend and your greatest protector left it there one day. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for all that you give us. Thank you for being our protector. And thank you for being our friend. We especially need to be mindful of that during these times of the pandemic. Be with our church, be with our family here, and make known to them your protection and your friendship. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray, and amen.